Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I think it was after World War I, a chaplain said that there was a non-religious young soldier who said to him, "Padre, why is it when we're being shelled and my nerves are all a-twitter, suddenly a peace will come over me?" And the chaplain said, "Might someone be praying for you?" And he said, "Ah, that would be my mother." Teddy Roosevelt said, "Praying mothers are America's greatest asset." Today we're going to look at one of Jesus' parables, and the point of the whole parable is pray. When I go garage selling, one of the things I like to collect are these old 1930s plaques that you hang on the wall. So I took some of them down, and here's one that says, "Prayer changes things. Ask and ye shall, and it will be, ask what ye will, and it shall be done." Or I got this one on the wall that says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so pray." Or here's another one. Actually, this next one's a hymn. "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, so pray." And then the last one, this is from the poet Alfred Lord Tennyson, who said, quote, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." So everybody, we're going to talk about prayer now. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and let's pray before we talk about prayer. Father, we want to pray that everyone watching this program will be inspired to a deeper prayer life. Lord, as the disciples said to you long ago, Lord, teach us how to pray and speak to us now. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, we're turning to Luke chapter 11, and we're starting at verse 5. And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he shall answer and say, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence or shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now, let me explain this. This is called an a fortiori argument, arguing from the lesser to the greater. For instance, if $1 will buy me food, how much more will $100 buy me food? If a mean father clothes his son, how much more will the Heavenly Father clothe his son? But in this verse, if a lazy, if a persistent guy knocking on the door will make a lazy guy get up and answer, how much more when we pray will our Heavenly Father answer? So the point of this parable is persist in prayer. Literally the verse is be shameless in prayer. Somebody asked, well, I saw somebody on TV preach that you just ask for something once and then don't ask for it again, just have faith, because if you ask for it more than once, you're showing doubt. Is that true? And I said, that is not true. We are to persist in prayer. Overwhelmingly, it's fine to ask for the same thing over and over. Now, there might be an exception. Paul the Apostle had this thorn in the flesh. 3 times he said, "God, take it away," and God said, "No." So I think after that, Paul stopped praying for that. But other than an exception, yeah, keep praying. I think if you don't pray, it's because deep down you don't think it works. And a New Testament scholar by the name of Norval Gildenhoy said this: "No child of God should ever doubt that when he prays to God out of real need, his prayer will be answered. He who doubts this does God the greatest dishonor, for by not believing that God will give what we really need, we in fact appear to regard him as less sympathetic than and less faithful than an ordinary earthly father or even an ordinary earthly friend." That's the parable here. Therefore, unbelief in relation to the answering of prayer is not only a weakness, but a serious sin and utter folly. So the point is, everybody, pray. Let's look at verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. "And I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened." All right, again, that's the next lesson. Prayer works. I am often tempted to think, well, okay, I'll pray, but it's not going to really do that much. I need to say, get out of my brain, you foul thought. Prayer works. Now, somebody might say, but it doesn't work. I mean, I'm a Christian. I've been praying for a certain thing for 20 years. So what do you mean God answers prayer? Well, the answer is, God answers every prayer that you pray, but sometimes his answer is no. Again, Paul the Apostle prayed, "God, take this thorn away." God said no. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "God, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me." God said no. And one scholar said, if God does not give us what we ask him for, it is because he gives us something better. So Paul's thorn stayed because God wanted to use him a lot and keep him humble. Jesus had to drink the cup of suffering on the cross because it's our salvation. So when God says no, he's giving you something better. A French philosopher, Jean Ingelou, said, quote, "I have lived to thank God he did not answer all my prayers." And Mrs. Billy Graham said, "I'm glad God has not answered all my prayers. If so, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. Let's look at verse 11. Luke 11, 11. "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Here's the next lesson. Mankind is evil. Did you notice how just nonchalantly Jesus says, "You're evil"? Jesus believed in original sin, that we're all born sinners because of Adam's transgression. And if you don't see your sinfulness, you'll never see your need for Christ. I mean, I've shared this before, but Phil Donahue died a while ago. He had the number one talk show in the 1980s and 90s. He said he was a Catholic. I thought his talk show was horrible. He used it to promote homosexuality with a vengeance. So one day, a long time ago, I'm watching Phil Donahue, and he says to the studio audience, "Let's all sing Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me." And he stopped and he said, "See, wait a minute, that's what's wrong with religion. I want you to know, Phil Donahue isn't a wretch. Phil Donahue's a pretty nice guy." And I sat there thinking, Phil, you don't get it. Until you understand you're a sinner and that you're wretched, you won't see your need for Christ. But in this verse, Jesus says, we're sinful. Look at verse 13. "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here again, here's the second a fortiori argument. It goes like this: if an evil father will give good gifts to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? So the next lesson is, God wants to give us good gifts. You know, sometimes I think, because of my sinfulness, God doesn't want to bless me. This verse says, au contraire, God wants to give us good gifts. I'll tell you what I thought of here. Years ago, my secretary Lisa went through the mail and then brought it, and I got the mail that Lisa went through, and I'm in my back office going through the mail. Dear Pastor Brock, you don't know us, but my wife and I watch your TV show, and we have an oceanfront condo in Naples, Florida that we let pastors and missionaries use. Would you like to use it? And I said, Lisa! And it was just such a blessing. Now, part of me thinks, God, I'm a sinner. Do you want to be that nice to me? But the point of this verse is, he does. God likes to give good gifts to sinners. But notice something here in verse 13. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? It doesn't say in verse 13, a condo in Florida. He says the Holy Spirit. So that means the gift par excellence that we want from God is the Holy Spirit. And look at verse 13. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's the next lesson. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, but Pastor, I thought we all received the Holy Spirit at our baptism. And I believe that. Or doesn't the Bible say Jesus, God will never leave us nor ever forsake us? And I believe that too. But the Bible does say you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. So I think it's right to regularly pray, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I read of a worship service where the man is standing up in the service, waving his hand, oh God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. The lady in the pew behind him knew him and said, don't do it, Lord. He leaks. Well, the point is, we all leak, which is why I think it's proper to regularly pray, God, today, fill me with your Holy Spirit. All right, that is today's parable. The main point, if I can put that whole parable in one word, it's pray. And maybe you don't pray much, so for the second half of the sermon, I want us to talk about how to develop a prayer life. Let me just share a few thoughts. Number one, make prayer a priority. Make it the first thing you do. Here's an ocean liner, and some dark clouds are coming toward the ship, and a woman runs up to the captain. Captain, do you see that storm? Do you think we'll make it? And he said, well, madam, we can only pray. And she said, oh, it's come to that? Like prayer's the last thing you do? No. Make prayer the first thing you do. Somebody told me that their habit is, before their feet hit the floor in the morning, they make sure to spend time with God. Make prayer a priority. A psychiatrist, T. Bulkley, said this to the British Medical Association. My whole life has been concerned with sufferings of the mind. I would state that of all the therapeutic measures employed to counteract disturbed sleep, depression, and all the miserable ailments of a disturbed mind, I would give first place in therapy to the simple habit of prayer. And then Sir Isaac Newton, the apple hits him on the head and he discovers gravity. He wrote this. I can take my telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space, but I can lay my telescope aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get on my knees in earnest prayer, and I see more of heaven and get closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes on earth. And they asked Billy Graham, when he was an old man, looking back, would you do anything differently? And he said two things. I'd spend more time with my family, and I would pray more. So everybody, number one, make prayer a priority. A second thought on prayer, get a regular time. I like to have my prayer time in the morning. Maybe you're a night person, do it at night. Doesn't really matter, but have a regular time every day when you pray. When I was a young pastor, an old Lutheran preacher said to me, "Tom, you need 1 hour alone with the Lord every day or you will burn out." And he said, during that hour, you can pray, you can read your Bible. Sometimes I take out my guitar and I sing to the Lord. I sing, you know, songs and stuff. But I don't make it every single day, but I often do. Get a regular time when you pray. So make it a priority. Get a regular time when you do it. And then third thought about prayer, get on your knees. Sometimes Jesus prayed on his knees. Sometimes the apostles prayed on their knees. Nothing's wrong with praying when you stand up or sitting in your chair or laying on bed. But I never grew up praying on my knees. When I went to college, some of my Christian friends were praying on their knees, and I thought, I'm going to try this. It's good. When I pray on my knees, I'm concentrated. I feel more humble. Somebody said, well, I always fall asleep when I pray. Well, then get on your knees. W.W. Iyer said this, "The quickest way to get a church on its feet is to get it on its knees." So get a regular time, make it a priority, get on your knees at least periodically. And then another thought about prayer. Get real honest. God knows what you're thinking anyway. Talk to him about it. Years ago, there was an older lady in my church who got into a car accident, kind of messed up her neck. So she had to go for a few weeks, I think, into a nursing home. I went to visit her, and when I walked in the room, she's sitting in a chair with this. And I said to her, "Hi, Pastor Tom, I'm having a hard time praying." She was really mad at God. And I said to her, talk to him about it. I mean, if you read some of the Psalms, David gets kind of upset with God, but he talks about it. Some of the Old Testament prophets got upset with God, but God would rather have you tell him about your anger than for you to give him the silent treatment. And I heard an old preacher say once, when you're upset, sometimes it's good just to take out the book of Psalms in the Old Testament and read a psalm out loud, because a lot of those psalms are people who are frustrated with God getting it out. So make it a priority, get a regular time, get real honest when you pray to God. And the next thing I'm going to say about prayer, get a group. Do you ever pray in a group? Do you ever have a group of Christians that you pray together with? I had a dear Aunt Dorothy. She was a Missouri Synod Lutheran. She went to church every Sunday, I believe. I believe she prayed. But when she was dying, I went out to Virginia and visited her. And we had the most wonderful, long, deep talk about Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and heaven. And we prayed together. At the end of which, Aunt Dorothy said, "Tommy, have you ever had a time like this?" And I felt sad because I've had lots of times like that. I got the impression this was Aunt Dorothy's first. Listen, it's so important to have Christians with you that you can talk with about the Lord and to pray with. Last thought about developing a prayer life. Number one, make it a priority, get a regular time, get honest, and get a group. And then the last thought about prayer, have a running conversation with God. The Bible says pray constantly. And I can tell you how my prayers went up to age 13 or so. "Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul, thank God, bless mommy, daddy, Ruth Ann, Sharon, Mark and me, all our aunts and uncles, cousins and others, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, amen." I said the same thing every week, every night. And then maybe at age about 14, I started talking to God on and off in my head all day long. Still do. I mean, if I sin at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to wait till 6 o'clock that night to talk to God about it. I'm going to get it off my back and just move on. So just have a running conversation with the Lord. All right. So let's summarize this. Jesus told a parable to tell you to pray. Pray by getting a regular time, make it a priority. Be honest with God. You might as well tell him what you're thinking. He knows it. And then pray with others if you can, and then have a running conversation with the Lord. I hope you pray. And I'm going to close with one last thought here. You maybe have heard me tell this story, but I was at Hope Lutheran Church for 29 years. Of all the stories that come out of that time, this is my favorite story. Here we go. When I was the pastor there, we had an older organist by the name of Helen. Helen was very Lutheran. Her father was a Lutheran pastor. Her husband was a Lutheran pastor. Two of her children were Lutheran pastors. And when Helen played the organ, she did not want you to play with the liturgy at all. She wanted the full Lutheran liturgy just the way it's written. So Helen and I didn't get along super well. But the reason I tell you that is the reason I believe this story is because it happened to Helen. Here's the story. For like 30 or 40 years, we had a Saturday morning prayer breakfast for men. It was a men's prayer breakfast. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the men would come and we'd kneel at the altar. We would pray. And Helen would be up in the choir loft quietly playing the organ. Then Helen and the men, we'd all go downstairs for coffee and donuts. One Saturday, I came out a little early and knelt by myself and prayed. And then the men joined me. We go downstairs for coffee. Tom, when you came out by yourself, who was the man in the long white robe that knelt next to you? I said, Helen, there was no man in a long white robe. No, is there like a play tomorrow at church? Is there somebody in a costume? Who was the man in the long white robe? I said, Helen, there was no man in a long white robe. And she said, no, who was the, and I finally said, I don't know, Helen, maybe it was an angel. And Helen said, no, this was real. Well, maybe a week later, Helen came back to me and she said, I don't think it was an angel. I think it was the Lord, because his hair was long in the back. There's the story. But you know why I tell that story? Where does Jesus show up in the church? At the prayer meeting. And a lot of churches don't have a prayer meeting. So my urge to you is pray by yourself, pray fervently every day, and then make sure there's a good prayer meeting at your church and go. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the pastor study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, doesn't the Bible say God knows what we need before we ask? So why pray?
Well, it does say he knows what we need before we ask, and it still says pray. I mean, another way people can ask that question is, if God predestines everything, which the Bible teaches, why pray? Because it's already predestined. Well, the answer is, not only does God predestine things, he predestines the way those things come to be. Mm-hmm. One of the ways he gets his stuff done is through our prayers. Mm-hmm. So some of this is a bit of a mystery, but I think both are true.
Do we ever give up? I've prayed for people for years and nothing's happened.
Nope.
Do I just continue?
I wrote my prayer list down about 50 years ago. I still pray for those people. And many of them have come to Christ. A lot of them haven't. Mm-hmm. But those are my prayers. I pray till the day I die. Because, you know, like it said in the parable, just keep knocking. Just keep knocking.
Never give up.
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes I pray if I lose my car keys or I'll pray for a parking spot. Is it okay to bother God for little things?
Well, you know, Jesus said the hairs of your head, if you had them, the hairs of your head are all numbered. Mm-hmm. And a bird doesn't fall to the ground apart from our Father, which means he's in control of the little things. When I lose my keys, I pray.
Me too.
And when I am looking for a parking spot, sometimes I'll pray. Nothing's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Nothing's too big or too little. Sometimes the Trinity confuses me. Should I pray to God the Father, God the Son, or to God the Holy Spirit?
The answer is, again, I said this just now in the sermon, but the norm is you pray to God the Father and you close the prayer in Jesus' name. Can you pray directly to God the Son, Jesus? You can. There's instances of that in the New Testament. Can you pray directly to the Holy Spirit? Well, I do, and I think you can. Mm-hmm. But do you know, there's not one instance in the Bible where it says somebody prayed directly to the Holy Spirit. So that makes me, I mean, when you pray to the one God, all three persons hear it. So there's only one God. But so there you go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get evil thoughts when I pray. What should I do?
Keep praying. And that's happened to me as well. You just, it's the devil. It's like a gnat. You just keep going like this and you keep praying.
Yeah. Do you say, I'm sorry, Lord, I had this thought? Or?
Well, you know, Martin Luther said, I can't stop a bird from landing on my head. Mm-hmm. I can stop it from building a nest up there. In other words, if an evil thought comes into my head, that's not a sin. I mean, Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The devil put it into Jesus' head, fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, no. So to have an evil thought is not a sin. To let it stay in there and germinate is a sin. So what was your question?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, evil thoughts. Okay, didn't Jesus say we shouldn't pray in front of other people because that is being hypocritical? Shouldn't we just pray when we are alone?
Yeah, and I think it's Matthew. Jesus says, you know, don't be like the hypocrites out on the street corner praying in public. So isn't he great? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we shouldn't do that. Pray in your closet, as he says, pray alone. But that doesn't mean you can't pray in public if your attitude is proper. Jesus prayed in public. The disciples prayed in public. So nothing's wrong with praying in public, but if you're doing it hypocritically to show people how great you are, Jesus says don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have never prayed out loud in a group, and the thought makes me nervous. Your thoughts?
Well, again, I know everything makes you nervous when you do it for the first time, but if you get into a good prayer group and people are praying and you just start nervous as you are, you'll get used to it. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Well, Mona, that's the end of the program. Everybody, we want to thank you for tuning in. Pray for this ministry. We're on all over the country now, and the more donations that come in, the more TV channels around the country we add. So pray for us on that, and there you go.
Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. If you want to know the Lord, you need to read his word. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.